when we look at Epiphany passages, they're always about Christ being manifested or revealed to the world, to the wise men, to Simeon, to Anna and Simeon when they saw the baby Jesus coming into the temple, the wedding at Cana. There's other passages that just about Christ's manifestation so he can be seen by the world. But today's text is about Jesus being manifested in us. Jesus being manifested in us. We are to live out a manifestation of the Christ living within. And that is so that the world can see who Jesus is. Frederick Hosmer wrote a poem, How Little Joe Named the Baby. And I took some verses from it because it's very interesting. It goes like this. Mama, I've named the baby. You have? What is it, Joe? I'm going to call him God, Mama. That's the best name I know. We prophet of the highest, who touched thy little tongue to speak so clear the holiest thought that e'er was said or sung? The preaching of the pulpit seems vague and far away beside thy bolder faith that sees Emmanuel today. Ah, well, if in each other, as through the world we go, we saw what in that babe was seen and named by little Joe. I love that because basically others are supposed to be seeing Jesus in us. And they're not going to see what in that babe was seen and named by little Joe unless we manifest the Jesus on the inside. And that's the title of this message. The Jesus on the inside needs to be seen on the outside. And his manifestation is a mystery, and it's mentioned twice in this passage. And it begs a question, it begs several questions, but this is the first one. What is so mysterious about being a Christian? Christians are just normal people. You know, I saw this movie once where they were showing, it was a documentary, and they were showing which one would you say is a Christian, and they identified all these people. And some of them didn't look like they might be Christians. And they said they're all Christians. You can't tell by the outside. It's how they live their lives. That's how you tell. This manifestation of to the world is different than normal. I mean, it's like we're normal people, but we're a little bit different. And this was one of the earliest writings that they have. They only have fragments of it. This is a good fragment of this man named Mathetus. Actually, that's not the name. His name, they don't know his name, but they named it Mathetus because it has something to do with what's said within it. It was back in 130 AD. So the church was in the early times, and they were also trying to make a defense for Christianity. So here's what he says about Christians. Following the customs of the natives in respect to clothing, food, and the rest of their ordinary conduct, they, Christians, display their wonderful, confessedly striking method of life. They dwell in their own countries, but simply as sojourners. As citizens, they share in all things with others, and yet endure all things as if foreigners. Every foreign land is to them as their native country, and every land of their birth as a land of strangers. They marry, they beget children, but they do not destroy their offspring. They have a common table, but not a common bed. They are in the flesh, but they do not live after the flesh. They pass their days on earth, but they are citizens of heaven. And you know, that's a mystery. How can we be citizens of heaven when we're still on the earth? We have this hope and even a joy sometimes in the midst of our earthly trials. There was a lady back in the 1800s named Anne Swetchin or Swetchine, and she wrote this: Christianity dispels more mystery than it involves. With Christianity, it is twilight in the world. Without it, it is night. Now, she said twilight. And I think she said it for a reason. It's because bright day, sometimes it's not. And so she was being honest. Christianity shines light on life's darkness. But listen, life is still hard. Sometimes we still walk in twilight. Life is still hard. And it's also a mystery that we are not just religiously connected to Jesus. We're not just religiously connected to Him. We're in a relational communion with Him as a living person. And that's so different than just the idea of religion. Having a close to thee, walking through the pathway of life close to thee. This is what's so a blessing about that song and why I picked it, Close to Thee, the English version. I wish I could sing it in French. But having this relationship is why this message is so important to us, because He does live inside of us and we need to manifest Him on the outside. Now, here's a greater mystery, and that is what Paul says about participating in Christ's very own work. It's a great mystery in verse 24. I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of His body, which is the church. Now, I've read a lot of commentaries on that one, and it's a mystery. What Paul said there is a real mystery. Entering into Christ's suffering for the church. That's interesting. And you say, but wait a minute. It looks like His work's not complete. Well, that's why He has us here. His work isn't complete until He comes back. He's still working. And where is He working? In us for the world. So, finishing Christ's work in us. So, that's a mystery. And I used to read when I was a teenager, a philosopher. He was drawn to Christianity. At that point, he wasn't. But later on, I heard an interview when he was on TV, and he was being drawn to choose a faith. And I didn't find out until later what he chose. And here's what he said. He was drawn to the mysteries of Christianity. Mortimer J. Adler. Ever heard that name? Mortimer J. Adler? How to Read a Book. It's his most famous book, is How to Read a Book. And he also put together, helped to edit the Encyclopedia Britannica, the one that came out. And the great books, The Western World, he was the one that wrote all the essays in the Syntopicons. I mean, he was a great philosopher. Here's what he said. My chief reason for choosing Christianity was because the mysteries were incomprehensible. If it were wholly comprehensible, then it would just be another philosophy. And that was really cool. But there's another mystery that leads to the question, why is it that Christians are special to God? Well, Colossians 1:26 and 27 sort of states this in a way. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm going to repeat that again and again because that is so interesting. This is the mystery that's been hidden in ages past, that Christ would be in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And God likes temples. He likes temples. But His plan was a special kind of temple. His ultimate plan. Now, He built a magnificent universe, but that's not His sanctuary. The universe is not His sanctuary. It's very big. It's gigantic. But that's not His sanctuary. And He had a tabernacle built, and He had a temple built. But Solomon's wisdom saw those two concepts as incomprehensible mysteries. Here's what he said in 2 Chronicles 6:18. But will God really dwell on earth with men? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built. If the heavens can't contain you, how can my temple contain you? Well, there's a clue. God's plan all along, hidden for the ages, you know, and for generations was to indwell humans as temples, to indwell us, to be in us as temples. And it's not such a great mystery if you think about it. If we remember that we were created in God's image, we were created to be at home with God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not a hope for heavenly fame. Oh, I'm going to be famous in heaven, you know, or no, or I'm going to have spiritual exaltation because that's a lot of glory there, you know. Our hope of glory is not that. It's for an eternal companionship with the living God. That's our hope of glory, to have an eternal companionship with the Lord. Life has hard knocks. And life's hard knocks tell us this isn't really home. You thought it was, but it really is not home. No, it's not. So our souls reply, well, then if that's the case, then I need Emmanuel, God with us, to get through my journey of life. Yeah, we do. We need God to be with us. If this isn't home, I was created to be at home with God, so I need Him. And that's what we get in Jesus. There's a group. It's called Out of the Grave, but they're really just a married couple. And they've been writing songs. I don't know if they write anymore. But they, Out of the Grave, wrote a song called Brave. And it really captures this human need we have. And I'm not going to sing it. Lord, I know you go before me on this road. Who could ever be against me? Every step I take, I know I'm not alone. You're my courage for the journey. And you make me brave. You make me strong. I'm not afraid. You've been here all along. In my weakness, you're my strength and song. You make me brave. Those words are just so precious. Because He does. He gives us courage on the journey. And this special kind of arrangement what we have with God, it comes from an authentic response to His love, by our love back to Him and our loyalty to Him. He says this in John 14:23. I'll just read it from the New King James Version. Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Will be loyal to Him. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Father, Son. And how did that happen? Through the Holy Spirit. That's the whole Trinity. The Holy Spirit makes it happen. And the Father and the Son come to live inside of us. But what's the alternative to that? Because, you know, there is a choice we make to do that, to have a love and loyalty to God. What is the alternative? Well, Sir Thomas Brown, and his language is sort of tough, and I've had to change it, but I'll just explain it a little bit as I read this. He said this, if thou couldst empty all thyself of self, like to a shell dishabited, that might he find thee on the ocean shelf and say, this is not dead, and fill thee with himself instead. But thou art all replete with very thou, and hast such shrewd activity that when he comes, he says, it has enough now unto itself. 'Twere better it be let alone. It is so small and full, there is no room for me. And you know something? To be true temples of God, self must be off the throne. He's a great God. He is Lord of heaven and earth. He deserves to be on the throne. And Jesus, who paid for our sins and is now exalted at the right hand of God, He needs to be on the throne of our heart. The self needs to be off center stage. Because through life, self is usually on center stage. It needs to be off center stage. We are to live at a manifestation of the Christ living within. And then the last question, how then do Christians manifest Christ? Well, the New Testament has a job description. It has many job descriptions. Love one another, wash one another's feet, serve one another in love. All those things, it's our job. It's our job to do that as Christians, as being manifesting Christ. But we don't do this job on our own. We don't do it alone. God, the triune team, you might say a trinity. I like that concept. It's a triune team, the Trinity. God ordains teamwork. In verse 28, it says, "We proclaim Him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ." Well, Hebrews 10:24 says that our teamworking task is to spur one another on in love and in good deeds. To spur one another on and encourage each other in love and good deeds. Why? What this passage says. So that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. This is the whole reason for church, really. This is the whole reason I preach from this word, is so that we can all encourage each other and present each other, spur each other toward love and good deeds, and present each other to God perfect in Christ. That's our big, big job description. And we manifest Jesus by being His co-workers. Being His co-workers. What He wants is what we must want and work for. Prayerfully and practically. Not just praying about it, but also doing something about it. And verse 29 says, "To this end I labor, struggling with all His energy which so powerfully works in me." Why does His energy work inside of Him? Because He's inside of Him. It's the Jesus on the inside. So our personal will is involved. It's not like, "Oh, I just let it happen. Jesus, go ahead, do your work." No. I labor is what Paul said here. We're involved in the process. To this end, I labor. But the energy with which I labor, the energy for the job, is the Jesus on the inside. Paul says this, struggling with all His energy, which so powerfully works in me, and in you, and in me, and in you. Because Christ in you, the hope of glory, is for all of us. And it's no longer a hidden mystery. We are to live out a manifestation of Christ living within. How we live our lives should actually show that we are citizens of heaven. People should say, "They're different. You know, why are you different?" Well, I live here. I'm sort of normal, but I also am a citizen of heaven. Opens the door to tell why. We're visible temples. We're temples and we're visible to people. We're not hidden temples. You know, we're not hidden. We're right out in front of everybody. And Jesus lives inside of us. Aglow with Christ's glory, we can be obedient to Him in loving and serving one another. Jesus wants us to be epiphanies. He wants us to be manifestations of His life inside of us. Jesus on the inside wants to be revealed on the outside so people can see. And it's only by seeing Christ in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that others can realize that they too can know this great mystery of Emmanuel, God with us. That's the only way they're going to see that there is a possibility. Oh, that happened back in Emmanuel, back in Palestine. You know, we just celebrated Christmas. It's over. No, it's not over. The Emmanuel now is in us. And He's with us, and we are citizens of heaven through Him. Hopefully, people who see that, they'll be led to invite Him to be their indwelling Savior and Lord, so that they can say this and say, "Yes, I need to live out my life as a manifestation of Christ living within." Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this passage. And Lord, there's probably a lot more in this passage, especially that first verse about how we're fulfilling the things you've left undone yet. There's so much in the world that needs to be done for the church. And so, Lord, help us. Help us to know what to do. Help us to have a listening ear when we pray. And I pray, Father God, that you'll strengthen us and help us to meditate on this one mystery that's been revealed to us. It's no longer a mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.